This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Something has changed about life in America. After yesterday's terrorist bombing and the World Trade Center bombing, we feel more vulnerable. Robert J. Lifton is an expert on the effect of mass social trauma. He studied the survivors of Hiroshima. During the Cold War, he wrote a pioneering work about the fear and numbing caused by living in a world with nuclear weapons. He's also written about the psychology of people who commit war crimes. In one of his books, he created a psychological portrait of Nazi doctors. He's also studied cult groups and their leaders. Lifton directs the Center on Violence and Human Survival at the City University of New York John Jay College, where he's a distinguished professor of psychiatry and psychology. I asked him about the unique psychological impact of terrorism.
It's sudden. It comes from the outside. It's not an act of nature or God, and it's not anything one can prepare for. It also is perceived as something done with malice toward oneself, one's own people. All those things, I think, create a very strong impact, and that's especially true in the United States, where terrorism from the outside is new.
And what do you do with all the anxiety that an act of terrorism causes? I mean, sure, you can seek counseling or something, but that's not going to make the reality of the fear go away, the reality of...
Yes, well there are two levels, of course. One is the immediate experience of survivors, and they can seek counseling, and they have, you know, more or less classical patterns of psychology of the survivor, post-traumatic symptoms, and various forms of anxiety, which we know about and which it's very important to attend to. But then there's a larger dimension, which has to do with a wave of collective anxiety that reverberates far beyond the actual event and really affects all of us, affects Americans in general. It's anxiety, and it's a new sense of vulnerability, which hadn't been there before.
Do you think that the impact and the symbolic meaning of the bombing of the World Trade Center is different from what happened yesterday in Oklahoma City?
Well, they're similar, but the bombing of the World Trade Center in New York City, it was a stunning blow also, because they both mean vulnerability. America is no longer protected by its oceans or by its military predominance. We're vulnerable like other countries. But there's a difference between New York City and Oklahoma City in that regard. You expect New York City to be more provocative, more vulnerable, more involved in any potential for terror. You don't expect that of Oklahoma City, which signifies the American heartland. The idea, the feeling that Americans have, I'm sure, is that if Oklahoma City can be targeted so effectively, nobody's safe anywhere in this country. And in that sense, there's a big difference. There's also a difference in the sense that this was the second major act of terrorism of this kind. And the first act you might be able to take in and dismiss as a single episode. If it's done a second time on an even greater scale, it sinks in that this can happen now. It's something we're vulnerable to. It's a new dimension of threat, and that's what Americans are struggling to take in now.
I think it's hard for anybody to distance themselves now. It would have been easy for people outside of New York to say, well, it happens in a place like that. I don't live in a place like that.
Exactly. Exactly, because often you can kind of differentiate New York City or any large American city from the rest of America, from the heartland, and say these are two different cultures. Actually, the differences are exaggerated. The similarities that we all have as Americans are greater than these distinctions, I often feel. And in this case, it's no longer possible to do. It's a sense of a new vulnerability, and we're just beginning to think about what this means. Americans never feared terrorism from the outside. We will now begin to fear it, and that means no matter what happens now, and even if this subsides and there's no, as one hopes, additional episode of this kind in the near future, something has happened. Some new image is now in our psyches, and it has to do with threat, and even when we're not thinking about it, it's there so it can be stimulated if something else comes up. It's, you know, when the atomic bombs were dropped, it was a new image that hit the world of something that could happen. And if one didn't think about it, it was still there to be reactivated if something stimulated again. It's that way now with America's vulnerability to terrorism.
Dr. Lifton, you work in New York City. Did you feel personally vulnerable after the World Trade Center bombing?
I did indeed. Right after the World Trade Center bombing, we talked about it in my family, among friends. We all felt a wave of vulnerability, and I personally felt I'm not completely safe. Something can happen that can injure me or people very close to me, and we're just as vulnerable as, in some sense, people in the Middle East or in Europe, in France, in the Far East. It's a world phenomenon, and once one felt that way, it'll never go away. It's a new existential state of being.
Did the World Trade Center bombing change your behavior in any way?
It didn't change my behavior in any discernible external way. I still went about my everyday activities and my work, but it became part of everything. It was a new signal that life isn't so safe. You know, I often quote an interview I had with a man who survived Auschwitz, and after sitting in his comfortable study, it was in Haifa, Israel, he said to me at the end of our interview, "This world is not this world." And what I think he meant by that was that once you've known a profound menace, in his case Auschwitz, you know that no matter how safe things seem, how comfortable they seem, there is that menace that lies underneath. In a lesser way, I and everybody else in New York experienced that after the World Trade Center bombing. And now I think all Americans have some of that feeling that this world is not this world and that there is that potential menace that lies underneath.
My guest is Dr. Robert J. Lifton. He directs the Center on Violence and Human Survival at the City University of New York at John Jay College. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is psychiatrist and psychologist Dr. Robert J. Lifton. You've done some really fascinating studies, in the past few years, and one of your studies was about Nazi doctors. I'm wondering if you ever try to enter the mind of a terrorist. I mean, you can't help but ask yourself, after the bombing in Oklahoma City, how can a human being bomb a place where not only are civilians working, there's a daycare center inside?
Yes. That's the kind of question everybody quite understandably asks. And the beginning answer I'd give to that is something like the doubling, the formation of what's a functional second self, which I observed in Nazi doctors, but there's lots of evidence of it in terrorists also, so that these same terrorists might be ordinary sons, husbands, fathers most of the time, and yet they can commit themselves to a terrorist self which doesn't see the children, doesn't put before their own imagination helpless human beings, and especially young children, but only a certain larger goal for their movement. And a terrorist always sees good in the violence that he or she perpetrates, a larger good. And that second self carries out the function that's expected. And in that way, one can do all kinds of violent things and be a very ordinary, nonviolent human being most of the time.
Is part of that double self believing that there's no such thing as innocence anymore, that everybody is somehow implicated in your own suffering?
One has the idea that one's own group has suffered, it's suffered unjustly, and one has to take drastic action in order to punish those who have caused the suffering, but also liberate one's own people. And it moves to an extreme. Any action becomes justified. It's an absolute polarization, a kind of inner separation of elements of the psyche between good and evil. But one sees oneself as doing something good, necessary, and virtuous. That's the irony of it. And I don't think we can understand terrorism or large-scale killing, even genocide, without grasping that.
Do you worry in times like this that an act of terrorism will be used by other people to rationalize expressing their anger through violence?
You mean retribution?
Retribution,
against,
yeah.
Against these terrorists.
Well, retribution against people who they think might be like these terrorists, these terrorists' ethnic group, or these terrorists...
I worry about that a great deal. I mean, I think that's a very important question, and it might not be the most popular question to ask right now when Americans are so upset and understandably so enraged, but we do have to ask that question because violence begets violence. It's a very fundamental principle of human behavior. There is a powerful impulse which all of us share to do something violent to the people who did this really evil act, as Clinton said. But having said that, one has to seek to be wiser. We need a collective survivor meaning from this experience, which has to do with punishing those responsible, but also looking to the causes and doing all we can to replace an atmosphere of violence with one of nonviolence. If you look at the peace process in the Middle East, that's what one sees, and you know, it's possible, though we don't know, that this event is related to that process in some way. Forces of violence, whether they come from extremist Palestinian groups or extremist Israeli groups, seek to maintain a climate of violence that prevents a peace process, and they seek to provoke violence.
What are you going to be looking at in the next few days or weeks in the aftermath of the bombing?
Well, I'm going to be looking at two or three different aspects. One is the traditional but very important aspect of what's happening to the people in Oklahoma City and those most directly affected and to their families, and that will be a considerable wave of pain, anxiety, and post-traumatic effects. I'm going to be looking at the reverberations of anxiety and anger all through the American population, what that means, how we feel as Americans, how we deal with our sudden quantum jump in vulnerability and fear, because that's going to affect us, and it's going to take on important effects over the next weeks. And I'm also going to be looking at what our leaders, what our political leaders will be doing. Will they, as one fears, be tempted to exploit this and reassert American virtue and really the virtue of the particular policy there behind in relation to terror or the Middle East or American government in general? Or will they show some further sensitivity about investigating the sources of this violence, looking at American policy perhaps more wisely, more reflectively, to see how it might take a direction that would minimize and isolate these acts of violence rather than perpetuate them with acts in kind.
Dr. Lifton, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much.
Robert J. Lifton is a professor of psychiatry and psychology at the City University of New York and John Jay College. His latest book is called The Protean Self, Human Resilience in the Age of Fragmentation. His next book, Hiroshima in America, will be published in July. This is Fresh Air.